This is Stateside. I'm April Baer. As you just heard, Michigan's new redistricting commission is beginning work on a brand new process for drawing up the state's legislative districts. This is a subject that has huge effects for how we're represented and the balance of power in Michigan. Secretary of State Jocelyn Benson told us what's on her mind about the commission's work, and we turn now to Katie Fahey. She founded and led the group Voters, Not Politicians, which successfully campaigned for the ballot initiative that changed redistricting in 2018. Since then, she started a new nonprofit called The People. Part of its mission is to take lessons learned in Michigan to other places. Katie Fahey, welcome back to Stateside.
Hello, thanks for having me.
So when we talked to the Secretary of State just now, Jocelyn Benson said she was feeling mostly pretty good about the selection of the commission and the work ahead. Can I get your analysis of how the process has gone so far?
I think all things considered, especially needing to adjust with getting the word out about this and having people apply and get notarized applications. I think I agree. Overall, it's been really exciting to see how many thousands of people are already excited in the very first time for citizens to be the ones who draw the lines here in Michigan.
What do you think of the range of people who were in contention? We had earlier in the year a list of 200 names. After some state leaders had a say in winnowing that down, we were down to about 180. Did you find it to be a representative sample of Michigan?
I thought it was fairly representative. I would have loved to see more of the applicant pool before it even got to the 200 being more diverse and making sure we got more representation. But I think overall, I was pretty satisfied with seeing the diversity not only in geography and race, but also in age, which I think was really exciting.
At the point at which there were 180 still in contention, that was the pool from which the final selection came, there were only 8 people in that group who lived in the city of Detroit. Is that enough?
You know, I think with Detroit being such a big city and having such a high population, I'm really glad that with the final 13, there was somebody who lives in Detroit who's made it onto that commission. If they hadn't, which there was no control for because it is a randomly drawn kind of like a lottery that ends up choosing the last 13 people, I think 8 does make it harder to guarantee statistically that somebody would have been from Detroit. And I do think that would have been a missed opportunity. Mm-hmm. Looking at the next set of lines, Michigan may lose a congressional district. And likely where that adjustment will have to happen is in the Detroit area, which is why I think it's especially important to have somebody actually from that community being able to listen to other voters who live in Detroit, but also be able to bring in their own unique perspective.
I believe there are actually 2 from Detroit, Juanita Curry and Brittany Kellum. So at least there will be 2 voices from Detroit, maybe a couple others from the metro area. You founded and led Voters Not Politicians all the way through 2018, and then you left last year for this new venture. Can you tell us about The People and what you're hoping to do with it?
Yeah, so what we saw, you know, I made a Facebook post that said, hey, I want to end gerrymandering in Michigan. If you want to help, let me know, smiley face. And that's what ended up kicking off the petition process to amend our state constitution. And being just a regular person, you know, my background was not in politics at all. I was just figuring out how to navigate the political process. There were so many hurdles and obstacles, and thankfully we navigated them all pretty successfully, but there's so many things that could have gone wrong. And being a part of that process and also just seeing, I guess, the disdain from a lot of political insiders about a bunch of regular citizens trying to actually have a say and create a new process. It was really eye-opening and left me wanting to take the lessons that we learned, the tools that we built, and be able to pay it forward and make it so that it was a little bit easier for the next group of citizens who really wanted to work on a systemic democracy reform issue, to be able to focus more on actually talking about the issue than having to really figure out, okay, how do we easily gather all these signatures, navigate the legal challenges, fundraise millions of dollars. All those things are a lot of focus off of actually talking about the thing that you're trying to pass.
Could you say more about the things that you learned during the process? I mean, you weren't actually working on redistricting, you were working on a ballot initiative, but I'm curious about the technical things that surprised you.
Yeah. I mean, I think Michigan campaign finance law, super interesting. Having to document not only every single dollar that comes in, but also all of the donations that people made. So for us, we did things like built our own clipboards to gather signature petitions, or somebody actually carved a dragon out of wood because gerrymandering, the original shapes kind of looked like a dragon. So we used that to raise awareness. And all of those things, you had to make sure there was actually a campaign disclaimer on saying, you know, paid for by our ballot committee, even though it was all donated, and tracking all of that and having to make sure that it all goes into the same, you know, computer database and we do that in the right way was really interesting. When we were trying to get training to do it, and this might seem somewhat standard, but there was only like one webinar offered once every couple months, and it was in the middle of the day, 4 hours, and you had to guarantee 17 people would be on the webinar, something like that. And all of us had day jobs. And so taking that much time, how do you do that? Who are the right people? All those kinds of things are really interesting. Learning about the board of canvassers, those are the folks who actually approve the petition language. They help make sure that you've got, you know, your font size the right way, that you're including the right parts of the Constitution. I never realized how many steps in that process there really were. And also that those four people, you know, two are nominated by Democrats, two are nominated by Republicans. It can be a political body.
So what kinds of initiatives are you working on to share what you learned? I also wondered, like, what states have reached out to you to try to see if they can get something similar going?
Yeah, well, in redistricting, it's been an exciting but kind of crazy year, especially with all of the different states handling COVID in different ways. Gathering signatures was prohibited in a lot of states. We were helping out on the redistricting front in Virginia, in Oregon, Nevada, Arkansas, Oklahoma, North Dakota, did an event with Texas, and Nebraska. So that was a really big year, I think, with the lines needing to be redrawn after this election. A lot of states had this on their mind. Unfortunately, not as many were able to actually qualify for the ballot, but interesting because there are definitely Democrat gerrymandered states and Republican gerrymandered states. But we've also been hearing a lot about opening primaries. In Michigan, you don't have to register for a political party, but in a lot of other states, you do. And a lot of citizens don't want to tell the government what party they're going to vote for. And so they want a primary system where they can easily choose during the primary. So that was pretty popular, as well as ranked choice voting, being able to rank your preference of which candidates you like best. So we've been helping out in Massachusetts there and a lot of states actually exploring that. And we're doing a lot of work in New Hampshire as well.
So much was different when this process started moving forward, when you founded the group and got things underway. I mean, here the commission is right now in a situation where, as we heard from Secretary Benson, I mean, the census may not be able to deliver the data the commission needs until much later than expected. And also, there's the question of whether census responses will give the kind of data model that the commission is really going to need. I mean, no one could have foreseen the pandemic, but I guess I'm asking if you think that this is still a time in which the kind of change that you wanted can be realistically achieved.
I do think it is. We actually had the commission starting its work before, in regular years, the census data would be available. And that was really purposeful because taking an input from the community, especially for the first time ever, millions of people will actually be able to give their opinion and have folks who are required by our Constitution to listen and weight that opinion on how our district lines will be on for the next decade of representation here in Michigan. And so that kind of work can still be done. Now, they'll have to adjust how much weight you know, certain citizens, depending on where they lived, or how much is that going to have and based on the census, but actually figuring out all the redistricting criteria, figuring out how they can listen to other people, even just understanding the rules that this commission wants to operate by. We left a lot of that up to them. And I think this time can be used really wisely to do that. The reality is, too, these lines are going to be drawn. We need to be able to adjust these lines in time for the next election. And so I'd rather have this process in place than have the legislature being able to manipulate the lines for their own benefit or for their political party's benefit.
You know, it also feels like the political mood of the country is in a different place than it was in 2018. There's a lot of conversation about what should be different about America coming out on the other side of the pandemic. Do you think that what you have to offer is a good fit for the kind of changes that people are asking for?
I do think so. I think what's really exciting is I see across the country that a lot of people don't feel heard. They don't feel heard from their legislators, their local government, maybe even their neighbors. And this process is so different than any other one that we have at the state level of government that I think it offers an opportunity for communities to actually come together and continue to have some of these conversations, to come together and talk about, you know, for our city, for our community, our region, whichever way you want to define it, what do we feel like isn't being addressed? And how do we want these lines to be drawn to make sure that our community can stand together and actually have a representative who's going to care about these topics in Lansing and in Washington, D.C.? To have a process that actually invites people in, that's actually transparent, makes all data information available. I think we need more of that in general. It seems like a lot of decision making or processes are what are being questioned, whether it's COVID or related to policing. And here's one system in government where it's actually hopefully going to be an example of doing things in a different way. And I hope that people will like it and want to see this adopted in other places in government, maybe at the local level or in other types of commissions. What you see in states who pass similar independent citizens redistricting commissions, Arizona and California, is citizens liked it so much that they did start actually taking this concept and applying it to even smaller forms of government.
Such as
school boards, local city commissions, and other decision-making bodies.
Katie Fahey is the executive director of The People, and she used to direct the nonprofit group in Michigan, Voters Not Politicians, which successfully campaigned for redistricting changes in 2018. Katie, thanks for talking to us. We hope you're doing well.
Thank you so much. You too.